Welcome to Trust Me, We Get You. My name is Karen.
My name is Erica, and we're your hosts for this podcast.
On today's episode, we're going to talk about what it feels like to be on two different sides of the spectrum when it comes to having a functional family and having a non-functional family and growing up and dealing with circumstances that put you kind of in one situation versus the other.
Yes. So pretty much we're going to go back into childhoods of each one of us. So pretty much my childhood, I can speak for myself. I think I had like a pretty, what you can put into parentheses, I guess, normal parents. Like they were together for pretty much all my childhood and, you know, very loving, very like, I don't know, like I was, for the time being, you know, I was also not a bad child. I was all like very obedient, very respectful towards my parents. And I mean, the growing up tactics with them was like, you do what you tell them, what they tell you to do. And that's it. There's no other option type of thing. The background, of course, Hispanic racing was back then, like, you know,
do what you're told.
And also, if you don't, you're going to get a whoop, you know. I was too scared to get whooped, so I never got whooped. It wasn't the same for my brother. He was more daring. But I think that it kind of like, I don't know. I feel like I grew up what you could say in a normal, like, as far as childhood trauma, I think that was like the biggest trauma was that I was just a yes man from that. But other than that, I feel like that's kind of, I don't know. How would you describe, what do you see, Karen, as a normal family,
like,
or normal parent?
Yeah, I feel like from my, because I had the non-functional family growing up, I feel like every family has their own little like dysfunction. Even like the picture perfect families have some form of dysfunction, because obviously no family is perfect. So even little things I would consider somewhat normal. Like I, from what you've told me, and I can't vouch for you because like it's your life, but from what you've told me of your childhood, to me, it seems like a very normal functioning family type environment that you had.
Okay.
Yeah. And then from my perspective, like my own family functioning, for those who haven't listened to our previous episodes, my family functioning was very, very, like, I guess, distraught. Like, it was just very non-functional, very traumatic, very harsh. I would say there was lots of yelling, lots of disagreements, lots of hitting, just more so emotional abuse than physical, but there was moments of physical abuse.
Well, like verbal. And
yeah, but the thing is too, is that Hispanic culture and like the way our parents' generations dealt with things was also like, you hit to discipline. And so for anyone listening, they might be like, oh, well, you deserved it. But I would be hit and like, talked down to for literally normal things that kids do. So if I would laugh too much, my mom would be like, Karen, you're laughing too much today. Boom, you'd get hit. If I spiked a fever and it'd be like 104, my parents were out partying, they'd be like, really? My dad was always a sweetheart, but my mom would be like, really? You're really fucking up this whole, I guess, encounter of us having this party and like going out and doing what we want to do, and now you're sick. And like they would take my temperature, it'd be like 104, 103, and they're like, oh great, like you're being dramatic. Cause I'd feel really sick. I'd be like, right. Dude, I can't help but to feel sick.
Yeah.
Like, I have a fever. I don't feel well. But I'd get hit for that, or I'd be like talked down to if I did certain things that reminded my mom of my father. She would definitely point that out and be like, oh, you're just like your dad, I can't stand you, you're never gonna accomplish anything. Like very, very degrading, very bullying, My mom definitely made all her kids feel, I think, inadequate, mostly the women, which is me and my sister. Mm-hmm. And it was more so, and I forgive her for this now, but the way her mother had raised her. So it created a lot of insecurities in me growing up that I had to shed and outgrow. But it definitely took some time. And there's also like more in depth to the story, but this is not a therapy session. It's just our perspectives.
Right.
But that's pretty much how I grew up. I just grew up very much in an unstable family environment where my mom was very, very harsh based off of how she was raised. And she used to tell us, like, you're born alone, you die alone. Like, don't count on me. Don't count on anyone. Don't count on your mother, especially. Like, you figure it out and that's it. And that led my dad to continue drinking. He was already like an alcoholic before he met her. And then I think that just heightened the things. And then my mom started drinking too. And it became one of those things where she told us later on when she was like, well, if I couldn't beat him, join him, you know?
Yeah.
So she became an alcoholic. And then they were just very absent. And then my mom was very abusive, so she would continue drinking. And then my dad would drink to kind of suppress how he felt, because he's just like very sweet and loving, and he felt like he couldn't be himself because my mom was very controlling. And she separated the family for the most part. Like, my dad grew up with a very caring and loving family.
Mm-hmm.
He's really tight-knit with his brothers and sisters, and my mom never grew up with that. So her idea was like, oh, that's not normal. And I guess it even goes back to then and like wow. What we're going to talk about now.
Yeah.
But she tried separating my dad from his brothers and sisters because she's like, oh, that's lame. That's whack. Like, you don't need nobody. Why are you up your brother and sister's asses? Like, you guys are grown adults. And she never developed that sense of love and protection and like unity with her family. So she tried really dividing my dad from his family, which created a division within our immediate family. And even my brothers, my sisters, and my parents till this day are kind of like, I guess, at a distance or adrift.
Mm-hmm. Because of everything that happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot, dude. Like, that's
it is, not... it's a lot.
that's why we kind of wanted to kind of contrast in between both upbringings, because we know that, you know, people can somewhat relate to both cases. And also, I think being more like bringing more of like empathy to people who have, you know, either or. And I think we've like, I know you've experienced that lately. And I know of a case that also kind of had not a normal, you know, however you want to put it.
Yeah. Like, not a normal family.
Upbringing. And it's, like, very hard for them to assimilate, like, how your mom, you know? Like, this comes back from your family, from, like, your mom, and who knows how your grandmother was raised, too, you know? So it keeps going down generations, because to them it's normal.
Yeah.
It is not normal upon society and stuff, but this person also never had the normal upbringing, never had like a loving call from a father or from a mom or somebody to be like, hey, are you okay? Are you alive? And when this girl sees that, like, you know, her significant other has a call from his parents like every day saying, hey, I love you. Don't forget that I love you so much. And they're so loving and all this. And the other one, she's like, wait a minute. Why do you talk to your parents every day like that? That's too much. You know, because she can't relate to that at all, because she never had that, like, I don't even know her real situation, but like, it was just kind of like what I, you know, what it was told to me.
What you picked up on. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, dude, that I never put that together. And like, then analyzing this person's situations, I'm like, this makes so much sense, you know, because you never know what this person, like some people go through in life. And I'm not saying that everything is the parents' fault, because at the end of the day, we are adults. But it does, you know, it does cause a lot of things, and it can cause a lot of disturbance as you're growing up. And even as you're bringing up to start your own family, you're like, I don't want to be like my parents. But you're like, but how do I do it right if I've never had it, you know? So
yeah.
It would affect, I feel like, once you want to have like your own family, your own home, like you're just like, how do I balance everything out? Because I never had that. Or what do I do? It's kind of weird. I mean, obviously I know you, you're a caring person. You're a loving person, but I wonder if it would be overwhelming too, you know?
Yeah. So like you were saying that you're like, you've been put in that position a lot lately. I've dated quite a bit of guys over my lifespan, even though I'm only 28. And at first, I would always think that I tend to date or gravitate to men that have very, very healthy families and like highly functioning families that to me are typically normal. Yes, they have their own little family drama, but they're nothing like my family. And at some point I realized that the person that was in error or who had like a messed up point of view when it comes to family was me, you know? And one of my first boyfriends, he was very, very, very close to his family. And when I say like his dad would call him every morning, every afternoon, every night.
My God, that's intense.
Yes. We would take a flight anywhere. Like we went to Portugal once and he literally called them from each pit stop that we took. So we drove from Southwest Florida to Miami, which is only 2.5 hours. He called at that point. We got to, what was it, to Boston or at some point, New York, someplace like that. It was like another stop. Mm-hmm. His dad called him at that point and called and called and called and we couldn't answer because we were like passing through TSA and all this stuff. And like the dad freaked out and like he called him back. And then once we got to Portugal, he called him back. And like, it was just very excessive. And I kind of think that it was too much. Like mm-hmm. his parents were definitely like helicopter parents that they were like up his butt. But they were always very, very, very caring to me and like always made me feel included. And that's, I think, the first part of me realizing like, okay, my family doesn't do the same and like whatever. And I kind of started resenting my family at that. But getting to know parents and family is so difficult. Even with like Erica's parents, like mm-hmm. I met them and I was so shy. I was like, hi, like... Because it's just like, I wasn't taught any specific way of how to be with parents or, you know, like I'm very sweet and I'm very like respectful of other people's boundaries and their space. And like, I was just very timid when it came to that with like adults. And now I'm an adult. So now I realize like how to correct certain things. But recently, like I've been with my boyfriend for almost 2 years and I've met his entire family twice, you know? So our first encounter, and I knew it was kind of going to be like this because he told me he was really close to his family. And like, he asked me, he's like, do you want to meet my family? Once we were dating for 3 months and I said, no, I'm not ready. I've done this in the past and I just don't feel emotionally stable to meet your family so early on. Because it honestly brings on so much anxiety. And I'm very playful and I'm very social. And like, I think Jay knows that. And he sees me how I am with my friends. And if you were to look at my Instagram, you'd be like, damn, this girl is like very outgoing. Like adventurous. Yeah, adventurous. She's charismatic, whatever. But to me, like, it's easier to be or portray that person like for social media because it's like it's me taking photos of myself or like close friends that I've let in take those kind of photos or videos and people that I've already developed and established that kind of relationship with. But I still get social anxiety. So the first time I met his family, I like expected to be around them a lot and they're great people. But it was so overwhelming to me because when I say we spent from morning till night every day for a full week, we did. And it was to the point where, like, I don't even spend that kind of time with my family.
Yeah.
Not even, like, my friends to be, I guess, like, in that. And I'm very extrovert, but I'm very introvert. And I need time to, like, process things. So if I'm, like, around high energy or energy that I'm uncomfortable with, even if they are the greatest people in the world, like, if I'm just barely getting to know you, I need time to, like, just take myself away and recharge because mm-hmm. I just start feeling like not me. I need time for me. And I think for him, he's always had his family and has always been like around his family 24/7. And it's very functional. And like that to him is normal. And there's some disconnect in that because it's hard for him to understand where I'm coming from. And I, as much as I understand where he's coming from, like, I respect how he feels, because I'm like, yeah, I've dated other guys and they're like, you obviously know my exes and how close they are to their families. Yeah. You were even part. Yeah. And you are to a degree still part. You know that I'm aware. Like, I'm aware that that's what people do, is they spend a lot of time with their families. But for me, it's kind of hard that I can see my perspective and I can see his perspective. But I feel like there's that disconnect of he's not understanding, or like he may think he understands, but it's very difficult for me. And it feels like I'm ripping my soul. I'm going to cry. I'm like, it feels like I'm ripping my soul out. Like,
yeah,
when I'm with his family, because I'm like, okay, like, I'm very friendly, I'm very cordial. And trust me, I try to be as respectful, like a fly on the wall. Like, do you want this? Sure. Like, if I don't like something, I'm still like, yeah, I'll do it, whatever. I don't care. If they offer me food, I was always taught it's better to discomfort yourself in the comfort of others than vice versa. And I've always been like that. And like, to a degree, like, I've shedded that now that like I live my own life, but I still have that when it comes to meeting people's families. Like, I'm not going to disrupt their peace just for my own, you know? But that's also very achy and aching to me. And like I said, I feel like it's hard. I guess like you can understand both sides now.
Yeah.
And you can tell us about that. But I definitely feel my boyfriend to a degree doesn't understand that, and I think that causes a lot of just distance, even when we're together, just like distance between us, because it's like I would love for him to understand, like, I grew up in very, very, very like dysfunctional, high stress, high tense environment, and then yeah, like I'm trying to change and understand and be able to be or tolerate more of like being with his family. And like this time around, I went to Texas again and like I encountered his family again, and they were like, oh, so super, super sweet. But it is just a lot of like trying to be very cordial, respectful, and then internally like suppressing myself to a degree, because whoever says they don't do that when they meet someone, I just don't believe it. Like, I'm not going to be my full self and like goofy with people I'm just barely getting to know. And like, it slips out. I'm becoming more goofy with them and like more friendly, but I'm definitely just not at that point. And that was definitely an argument.
Also with the parents of your significant other, whether we want to admit it or not, we're still on like trying to impress them, you know, not just impressing them, but also like being, like you said, cordial, respectful. And also, how would you say that? Like, yeah, you don't want them to think you're like some crazy wacko person, you know, and like there's limits, you know, to every relationship that you have. And I'm not saying about just relationship with a significant other, but relationship with the parents of this person or their siblings or, you know, even your friends, like, you know what limit to cross and what not. And, but I feel like, I might be wrong, but I feel like since you can't relate to the 24/7 being with your family type of situation, you can do that, you know, you can set your limits up to, because of the situation that you're in, but up to a certain point, and then you're just like, all right, like, I need some time off from this so I can, like you said, recharge and be able to, you know, do that. Because also, if you think about, everyone's family is so different. And especially now that I'm here in Florida with, you know, my family for the holidays, and also talking to my friends, especially now that we're like in our 30s, I guess, early 30s, late 20s, and our parents are kind of getting older. We talk about our parents. Like last night I was talking to my friends about our parents, and we're like, dude, like, why are parents this way? And then you think like, oh, my parent is so annoying, or they're so like stubborn, mostly, because I feel like most parents are stubborn more than anything. But then you hear other people's parents and you're like, I think I'm going to stick with mine because, you know, they're like something else. Like, I don't know if I could deal with like my other friend's mom or my other friend's father. And I would be like, okay, never mind. I'll keep mine, you know, because like there's a saying in... in Colombia that it's like, mejor el loco conocido que algo por conocer, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know it?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And what is it? How do you describe it? It's like better the crazy that you already know than a new type of crazy that you have no idea how to handle, you know, something that you're already accustomed to.
Yeah.
So obviously that also brings like questions as of like, why are your parents like that? Like, why are they like this? Or why did they say those type of things? And like, I ran into that not only with my fiance's parents, but with parents from people that I've dated back in the day, you know? And I also feel like, well, now that I have a fiance, obviously these people are going to be with me for the rest of my life, you know? But when you're dating, you're also like, these are possible people that I'm going to have to deal with for the rest of my life. And then you also say like, you don't only marry the guy, you marry his family, right?
Yeah.
So it's also kind of like, I'm going to have to deal with this forever, you know? And it's kind of like, there's nothing you can do because at the end of the day, you love the person that you choose to be with. But it's scary that, you know, the whole situation with their family is also now kind of your thing.
Yeah.
So going back to what you were saying about me being able to relate to both. Yes, my parents was normal and my family was normal up to a certain extent because then I think when I was like 25 or something, like they split up after being married for 25 years, ever since, you know, forever. Or I think I was 23 or 24. I don't remember. But in my early 20s, they decided to split up and then it was all dysfunctional, you know, and it was like really harsh for me because I was used to everything being perfect in my home. And obviously my parents were not perfect. They had arguments and normal stuff. But as far as like having one parent living in one place and having the other parent living in like a different country and, you know, dissociating so much from the core family was also very harsh, you know, and it brought a lot of other things into mind. Like, was it like in my thing was more of like, was that all a lie or was that real type of thing? Like, does this
like person, what changed and why?
Yeah, like I'm like, in a way, it's not like you say it's your fault because you know it's not, but it's like, what did we do wrong as a family that it took to this extent, you know? And I'm pretty sure a lot of people with like separating parents go through something like that, even though it's like people's decisions, you know, and you can't do anything to change their mind or whatever, you shouldn't. But I definitely can relate because I remember that's exactly the time that I met Karen. And I remember the holidays for us were the worst. We were always like, dude, like, I hate Thanksgiving. I hate Christmas. This all sucks.
That was the start of our friendship.
And we had a friend back then that like, you know, her family was perfect and she didn't understand. And then I was like, dude, it's because you can't relate. And that's okay. Like, you know, at that moment, she couldn't relate because like her family was, everything was good. But mine had just broken. So I was obviously going through something and Karen's family had been, you know, like broken too. And she was like, I don't want to be with my family. I know that's just going to be traumatic right now. And I'm like, I don't want to be with my family. So I remember we used to do like different things for Christmas and like we would go to the beach or like just kind of to wave off on like the whole perfect family Christmas type of thing.
Yeah,
because we knew it wasn't going to be like that. So we found our outlets. But
we definitely made like Christmas, I remember, and like New Year's fun, though, in our own depressed way. I remember like spending it at Fort Myers Beach or like the beaches in Naples and like sitting in the moonlight and then going the next day with some drinks, you know.
Yeah, we definitely made it the best that we could at the moment.
I think we used this kid's house and we like even did the tree at his house because remember like his ex didn't allow him
to have a tree. So we were like, this is Christmas. We still made the best of our Christmases though. But I feel like we were able to be that little family that we were kind of missing in like our real homes. But yeah, I think that being able to relate to both is good, but I feel like people who, let's say Jay, or maybe even Jason, even though his family is still together, there's obviously dysfunctionality in it, you know?
Yeah.
But of, you know, I think sometimes he doesn't understand, okay, I have to deal with one parent and then I have to deal with the other parent and they're like completely separate things. And just because I spend, let's say, a week with this one, now I have to spend another week with this one, you know? Yeah. And it's like, he's like, well, that's a lot, you know? And then I'm like, yeah, but it's like, I can't do anything about it, you know?
I think it's definitely really hard to see like where your partner's coming from, because obviously we don't live our partner's life. Mm-hmm. We only live our own. And I think it's just being aware, like how you're aware of Jason's family. Mm-hmm. I think he has to be aware of your family and your situation, what you go through and how things are for you and your parents now, you yeah. know, and like how now your time has to be divided between your mom and your dad. Yeah. And then with me, I try my best to understand the Jay and his family dynamic. And then I just feel like I just want a little bit more lean into like him understanding my family dynamic. Like he asked me recently, oh, do you want me to meet your parents? And I honestly said no. Like, I know it sounds messed up. And like, I was talking to my cousin's wife, Jasmine, about it. And she's like, well, doesn't that tell you something? Like, isn't it weird you don't want him to meet your parents? And I was like, no, I genuinely don't care for my parents to meet anyone. My parents met boyfriends just because we lived all in the same town. Mm-hmm. And I was younger then. Like, they would want to know who I was with. It's not that I wanted to bring them around. But I don't care if he does or doesn't. I love my dad. And I do forgive my parents for everything, but I just don't care. For me, dealing with my parents nowadays, I'm aware of how they are, and like it's still emotionally tolling to me. And I just feel like to even have to, fix things. Yeah, yeah. To deal with like seeing his reaction to how my parents are, and like they're pretty good actually with like, yeah. with like strangers.
With people, with strangers, they're pretty good.
Yeah, like they're like actually pretty normal. Yeah, with like strangers are like pretty normal. It's just like when you get to know them too in depth. Exactly. And not so much my dad, it's just like my mom. And I don't know if I want to deal with that. Like I think you care
for your friends. Because also it took for me forever to meet your parents.
Yeah, I just don't want anyone to like.
I just think that you're like, I don't want anyone that I care for to have to go through a situation where you're gonna have to be like, okay, you know, awkwardness or anything like that. You're just trying to, I guess, protect them from a situation yeah. like that.
It's but. Just because I feel like I'm so different to my parents, and like I do carry things from both sides. I can be very sweet and empathetic like my dad, but I also have asshole moments like my mom. So it's like just depends how you get me. But now as an adult, like I was even telling my sister, I'm like, I just feel like my parents were kids that never really grew up, and they were like emotionally broken. And till this day, I feel like I cater too much to them emotionally. And like I put their feelings first to a degree where I feel like I'm almost parenting them and trying to provide them the love that they were missing out on. But I feel like I'm also overlooked. And like, I don't care to be overlooked by them, but then I try to find love in other places, which mm-hmm. also can be problematic. But I don't know, like dealing with my parents just gives me a lot. I feel drained every time I go to their house, every single, there's not a time where I leave my parents' house that I feel full or fulfilled or warm or like, oh, I feel great. On the contrary, I go to my parents' house and I feel like there's, like I go in with no weight on my shoulders and I come out with like a whole fucking backpack of just like bricks and bricks and bricks and bricks of weight of like their emotions, their worries, their finances. I'm here like processing, like maybe I could help them out financially. Maybe I could help them out emotionally. And it gets so overwhelming to the point where I'm like, I can't be the one to save them. Like they were humans before I was even born. Like yeah. I'm not the parent, and I still try to let that go, but it's difficult.
I think also that when you say that about like you trying to help your parents and their finances and stuff and how they were like children that never got to, you know, be adults. And I think that's a lot of us can relate to that because our parents were parents very young. Like if you think about yeah. like, at least my parents were parents very young. Like my mom had me when she was 21 and my dad was 24. So I go back and I'm thinking like, dude, at 21, like, so my mom right now at my age at 30, she would have like a full on 10-year-old and a 5-year-old, you know, and had just immigrated to a different country where she knew nobody, not the language, nothing. Like, she had everything she ever wanted in her country, but because of security reasons, we had to come here. So it's like, I think about everything that they went through, and I'm like, that sounds like a lot for a 20-something-year-old, a 29, yeah. a 30-year-old overall. And I'm like, my parents never were able to be kids, like, because you're a kid when you're 22.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a kid. Like, I go back to me, 22, thinking I was, like, so, you know, that I knew so much, that I was such a big person, I was such an adult. And, like, I've always said it here, like, the older I get, the more I understand that I know nothing. Like, the more I understand that I need to be, you know, like, I need to enjoy life, and I need to, instead of stressing about all these other things. And I see the reflection of my parents, you know, they are an example. And definitely, I don't feel like they were able to live a life like I've lived it. Like, I've enjoyed my youth. Would I wish to enjoy it more? Yes. But I mean, I still have time, you know, and yeah. being a parent so young, it's kind of like, dude.
I know you're the same way too. Like, even with that, like, I hate this about us, but we're like that type of people who, like, we take on everyone else's struggle mm-hmm. and make it our own worries. Why? I don't know. But specifically when it comes to, like, close families or close yeah. friends. And we've talked about this before, where it's like you visit your parents and then, like, you come out like, well, now what are they going to do about this? And it's like, it's yes. not your worry. Like yeah. they are a human functioning, capable
adult
who can do that and take care of it. It's like, and I think we both need to remind ourselves that, like, we are not the parent. Mm-hmm. And, like, we want to parent our parents because, yeah, maybe they were young parents and, like, made mistakes. But it's like, we're at the end of the day, we're not the parent. But I do realize that you try to be one way with your niece, and I try to be one way with my niece, too, to kind of, like, change the dynamic of yeah. their future, too.
Yeah. I'm going to be the cool aunt.
I try being the cool one, but then I realize I become, like, parental. But I do like when I see my niece over at my parents' house, and, like, she'll, like, interrupt. Like, I think what my brother does is very much similar. Like, he tries to raise her the way my mom raised us. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, clearly that did not work out, because look at all of us. Like, my sister hasn't talked to my parents in what, 12 years now?
That's insane. And to me, like, that to me is so crazy. Like, yeah. I could never imagine that in my whole life. Like, I talk to my mom almost every day, at least twice a week.
Yeah,
that's a week that, like, we don't talk too much. With my dad, I don't really talk to him that much. I talk to him probably, like, once a month, if anything. Yeah. Right. But dude, talking to, like, not that's insane. Like, I could never do it. Like, I could never go, like, not talking to my parents for, like, 6 months. That's insane.
Yeah, no, my sister hasn't talked to my mom in 12 years. I honestly don't talk to my mom every day, not even every week. Mm-hmm. I'll talk to my dad because my dad calls me, but it's like that. Like, I'll go over, and then, like, my brother acts the same way as my mom, but, like, the younger version of my mom, because my mom has chilled out a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, yes, a child's going to do whatever the heck they want, no matter how much discipline, if it's really in them, like, if that's just their personality. But I try to explain to my niece why things are the way they are. Like, if she's interrupting, rather than, like, telling her to shut up and, like, go away, I'm like, listen, like, you see two adults are talking. It's a conversation. If you're not involved, wait your turn till the conversation's done. Once we're done talking, then feel the freedom to say, hey, like, what am I involved, or whatever it is that you need to say. But when you see that two people are talking, let them finish talking. Right. And, like, I try to explain, and she'll ask why, like, why? And I'm like, because it's just polite. It's courtesy, it's or rude. Whatever. And then same thing, like, she told my mom to, like, hush, or, like, she went, like, in her own house. And she doesn't, like, you know, she's a child. So I told her, I was like, honey, like, why did you tell her that? And she was like, well, I was reading. And I'm like, yeah, but do you see where you're reading? You're reading in the middle of the kitchen where everyone's cooking and laughing and doing things. And I'm like, one, go tell grandma I'm sorry, mm-hmm. because one, this isn't your house. And two, like, we're in the middle of something. If you need a place that's quiet, just ask one of us, hey, like, where's a better place? And she's like, oh, okay. And she apologizes. But it's like her constant need to know why. Mm-hmm. And it's, I feel like sometimes people just want to be like, well, just go, you're a kid, you can't be here.
Just because I say so.
Yeah, because
that was used to be my mom's answer for everything. I'm like, why? Because I say
yo le dije.
Porque yo le digo, and I'm your mom. Yeah, and I'm like, okay.
And yeah, like, do our kids gonna follow what you're saying all the time? Obviously not. Like, there's times where I'm like, hey, this is why we're doing this and why. And she still does whatever. But it's just like the explanation, like, at least give them an explanation. And then if they keep acting crazy, then be like, okay, dude, like, I gave you the explanation. Now it's time to go to your room. But I don't like that. The whole, like,
we're talking about this, like, right? It was so funny because I just had like this, I didn't even have a conversation. It was, I was kind of given a lecture in a sarcastic way by my mother and her husband, because I don't know what happened. Something happened with a child. And then my mom was like, my kids would have never done that. My kids would have never thrown a tantrum, because cuando no, like, when you hit your kid, they just know what to do. And I remember that if I just looked at my children, they would just already know that stuff was going to go down the moment we got home, and they would never disrespect me and they would never do that. And she's like, I don't know why people say that if you hit a child, they're going to have trauma. My kids come out just fine. And I'm like, in the back of the car, like, both me and my brother are in therapy right now. I'm just kidding.
I was like, the kids looking all petrified.
But not only that, also, guys, I'm sorry if you hear yelling. It's my niece. She's outside yelling.
All right.
But if you hear her, just but yeah, like, I'm like, oh my god, because I don't know, I believe, I don't have children, but I'm trying my best to get educated into, like, not, you know, spanking them if I don't have to, and hopefully I never have to, because I really don't believe that that's a way that you need to treat anybody. Like, I don't go around the fucking grocery store spanking people because they don't have what I want, you know what I mean? Like, it's, or because they don't do the things I do the certain way. Like, I don't believe in that. Obviously, I'm not gonna say that I would never do it because I don't have kids and I don't know the situation I would be in, and I'm not judging for that. But in my point of view now as an adult, I'm like, I've talked to a lot of kids and I've always loved children and I've always babysat children ever since I was 14, and I've never had to spank any child for them to figure out a way to do things, like, to get them to do things and to have them safe. Because I think most of that, it's like, you need to let a kid be a kid as long as they're safe and as long as they're not, like, you know, putting themselves at risk, because you can't have them sitting down watching TV all day. Like, that's not a childhood. Yeah. You know what I mean? So they're going to jump around. They're going to laugh. They're going to be loud. They're going to be try to, like, push their limits, because that's what they're trying to do. Like, okay, until what part can I get, you know, before somebody tells me not to? And it's like, we were all like that. But having my mom say that, I was just like, I didn't want to tell her anything because, you know, at that point I was just like, what's the point? That's what she thinks. The reason why she was hitting her children was because she got hit, and even more in a more violent way when she was growing up. And I'm like, the only reason why you think this way is because you're still angry that that's what, how you were raised.
Yeah.
And you had to do the same thing to your kids. And I'm like, it just doesn't make sense to me, you know, like, it just something that, because of course it's scientifically proven that if you were spanked as a child, you're going to want to do the same thing to your kids, you know? And because you learned that it's a learned behavior, that you got spanked because you needed to learn a lesson. Therefore, oh, in order for my child to learn a lesson, I need to spank them. I don't know.
I definitely think that, like, our parents, because even my parents would be like, oh, but I didn't even hit you like that. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, if it was, you know, my parents' era, you would have known what real hitting is. Like, honestly, I'm like, I don't even want to know, because if you're hitting me with hangers and with fucking cables and shit, I can't even fathom to imagine, like, how you were hit, because
exactly,
it was already, like, to the max.
Yeah. And Gustavo was even telling me a story, like, he was like, yeah, I remember one time I failed a class. He failed a class, and his mom came from the school, and he's like, I already knew I failed the class, so I put two pairs of jeans on, because he knew he was going to get hit with the belt. And it's like, so he was ready. Like when the mom came home, she opened the door and she's like, oh, mom, how are you? And she's like, how are you? Let me show you how I am.
Oh,
I don't know why we're laughing about this.
I know, I was like, because I guess it's like the,
but he was,
it's our like, trauma response.
Yeah, and then he's like, I guess he got starting to spank or whatever, and like he was trying to pretend like it was hurting, but since he had like two, you know, back in the 90s or 80s, the jeans were made thick, you know.
Yeah.
So like he was like, it wasn't hurting, but I was trying to pretend like it was hurting, and she saw that I was wearing two jeans. She then took all his clothes off, hosed him down outside and staring, hitting him with like freaking, like, I don't even know what. And I'm like, oh my God, with water, you know, that hurts even more. Yeah. I'm like, that's some like, I don't know. That's just not okay. Like, I don't think you need to go to that extent for somebody to learn a lesson. That's so traumatic.
It's so crazy because I don't know if you've noticed, like my dad's nose, it's like somewhat tilted to the side.
No, I haven't.
And it's like slightly because I think he, every day he would like hold it opposite. But he said that when he was, this is the other thing. My dad and my mom always talk about how like their parents still had a say in their life even after they had kids. Mm-hmm. Like they, like my grandparents would still be involved in my parents' yeah. life, even if they were already 40 years old, which that's a no-go to me. But my dad, he said that like he was already 20 or 22 and he had said something to my grandpa. My grandpa literally just punched him and broke his nose.
Oh my
God. So his nose was like this to the side and he had to like hold it and he never went to the doctors to get it fixed or anything. But it was like his dad literally broke his nose just because my dad pissed him off. And going back to the whole thing, like even when my mom, you know, and my dad had me and I was already like 6-7 years old, I still remember my grandpa and my mom's mom, my dad's mom and my mom's mom, always trying to be involved, especially my grandmother. Until this day, my grandmother still thinks she has the ability to be involved in my mom's life and how to say things. And like when she had us as kids, my mom's mom would always try to, like, I guess, discipline us and reprimand us and things like that. And my mom says, looking back now, like I probably should have never allowed that. And I honestly probably would not allow that. If I had kids, I don't want one of the grandparents hitting the kid and like acting fucking crazy with the kid and like causing trauma. Like if I'm not raising my kid like that, I don't want you to.
Of course.
You know, if they're acting insane, bring them back to me or literally just put them in timeout or do something. But I don't want you hitting my kid. I don't want anyone that's taking care of my kids to hit my kid.
Yeah.
Like there has to be a boundary.
There's just, I think that's very common in Hispanic, obviously, communities as well. I'm not sure if it's like that for here in the U.S., but I think also in Europe that happens a lot. Because I had like a coworker who was European and her parents were, she had to move all the way out here because her parents were always trying to, you know, opinionate and this is how you do things and everything has to be like according to the traditions that have been set back from I don't know when. And I'm like, girl, like we don't live in the freaking 40s anymore. Sorry to be realistic, but it's like, no. And I have a friend who like her parents are also very opinionated about everything she does and everything she says and everything she eats and how she dresses and everything. And she's like, I can't do this anymore. Like, and I was like, you need to set boundaries with your parents because they still see you as a child. The moment you start saying like, no, I love you, but I'm sorry, I don't believe the same and I don't think the same and I don't want to do the same things, you know, like they're like, oh, okay, okay. They start stepping back. It's not easy for them because they're not used to it, but that's kind of how it works.
Dude, even so my friend Amber, she's already 33 and she was talking to me about her friend and she was like, oh, tell me how my friend still keeps blaming her mother for everything she does. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, she goes, well, my friend, what she does is like, anytime she does something, I guess, out of line, she'll be like, well, my mother did this or my mother did that. And I'm like, how old's your friend? She's like, my friend's 34. And I was like, dude, your friend's 34 and still blaming her actions on her mother. I can get to a degree where I'm like, okay, do I think I am a certain way because of my mother? Obviously, you know, But I'm not blaming my mother for my current actions. Like, at this point, right. they're all my actions because I'm an adult and I realize what's wrong, what's right. There are certain things I can't control, like my emotions when I'm put in weird situations that I could, like, clam up. But other than that, like, my actual decisions and life, I blame them on myself because I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'm fully capable of making my decisions. But she said that, like, even though the girl was 34, deals with her mother, that she still blames her for that. And I'm like, dude, there has to be a point where, like, our parents let us go in that sense of, like, being domineering and telling us every little thing. And I think that it's okay for parents to be involved in their kids' life as an adult, but not to pressure them to make any certain decision, because mm-hmm. that should be on you now.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. I don't.
Is that your niece?
Do you hear her?
Yeah, I heard her now.
She's playing. I don't know what she's saying. But yeah, I don't know. I think in a relationship, going back to the beginning of this conversation,
yeah.
trying to be more understanding, like we said, and more like bringing empathy on the situation, even for them. Like, I'm pretty sure even for Jay, being away from home during the holidays is a very hard thing because he's used to having, you know, like this big thing with family all the time, 24/7 for the holidays. And for you, it's just like, whatever, I don't care. Like, it's just, I've been alone in the holidays before, so I don't, to me it's not that important, you know. And like, same I guess for Jason. For me, it used to be such an important thing to be with family on the holidays, and it still is. I'm not saying it's not, but I'm like, if it's not there, like, I'm okay with it. Like, we can be around any other time of the year. Like, beautiful Christmases, yeah. That's great, but also I'm not gonna like die if it doesn't happen. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like when I was growing up, it was like crucial. It had to happen. And then,
yeah,
I'm like,
I definitely don't. Yeah. Like, I work this year, my birthday, I work Christmas Day. So I'm like, and I feel fine. Like, there's no, I feel happy about it. Like, in a way, I'd rather be doing something than just being at home with my family feeling uncomfortable as fuck, yeah. You know?
I'm not going to lie, yeah. But like, yesterday I went to my friend's house and she had like her Christmas decoration and all that stuff. And I was like, I am a Christmas person. Like, I decorate my whole house with Christmas and everything. And I did it last year. And I'm not going to lie and say that I miss it, but I think I just want to start my own traditions now. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I start my own thing where, like, either it's friends and family coming over to my house. Like, I love hosting yeah. stuff. So for me, I'm like, oh, man, I don't have a place right now where I can do that. But I can't wait till, like, I can do that, you know, because it makes me really happy. And it makes me happy to have people over at my house and, you know, doing all that.
That I understand. Yeah. I would love that. I mean, right now, still my favorite holiday is Halloween.
Yeah.
But I'm sure, like, I think having a family or just having someone close, I think it's because I just live alone. Like, I don't find, like, to me, I didn't decorate my apartment, like, Christmas themed or anything. Because I just don't see the, you know, the fun.
You don't have the Christmas spirit.
I don't have the Christmas spirit. I'm the Grinch. But I do, like, I used to really want that. And now I'm like, I'm just dead inside this holiday season. This holiday season, I'm like this. Like the emoji with the flat line mouth. Yeah. That's literally me. I just don't feel the holiday spirit this year. I feel very
blah.
Yeah.
I get it.
Or underwhelmed by the holiday spirit. Yeah. Holy spirit activated. Seriously, yeah. Something's wrong with me, but I feel flatline. Like, I'm not sad and I'm not happy either. I'm just like,
oh. Yeah, same. Like, I'm going to spend it with my family. It was in, like, a plan.
Yeah.
But I'm still like, okay, that's nice. But if it wouldn't have happened, I'd be like, okay, that's nice too. Yeah. I think it's because I went overload last year that this year I'm like, I just need to relax with the Christmas thing. Maybe next year I'll have a different attitude.
I just want to drink hot chocolate and cry. I watch more romantic movies about people like giant roses and love letters. And dude.
What the heck? But yeah, I think we had our little, you know, and we're still missing. We don't talk about other family situations because you and I didn't go through, like, you know, people who have their parents separated since they were, like, born or kids or however it was. Like, we can't relate, but I'm pretty sure that that brings a whole nother monster or situation into the
picture. I'm sure that there's a million different family dynamics. And, like, honestly, I'm grateful that my life wasn't any worse. Because it could have been. It really could have been. Like, there's... TikTok makes me realize that even though I had it bad, my bad is not as bad as other people's bad. Mm-hmm. And that sounds messed up, but it really is true that there's, like, a lot of crazy things out there. And you just can't help the family you're born into either.
Yeah. And
but it's important to try to be a better human than what your parents
were. Yes. Unless your parents are great. Then follow them.
Well, then this podcast episode is not for you. I'm just kidding.
But also, I think that I just want to send all my love to the people who have, you know, like, a hard situation growing up. I think I've tried to be more understanding now. You know, maybe raised without a certain parent or without parents or foster system. That's a whole nother issue. And I think that during this timing, it's kind of like hard on everybody who, you know, doesn't have this perfect or normal, in parentheses again, like, situation. So we send our love to you, and hopefully you're not alone, because there's a lot of people in your situation too, maybe not exactly the same but somewhat similar.
Yeah, so have a happy holiday, and know that if you're working, I'm working too. And if you have a messed up family, so do I. And you're not alone.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening. We want to give you some info on how you can give back this season. The organization Together We Rise works towards improving the life of foster youth. We would love for the children to receive your donations. It can be towards their education, clothes, transportation, or other needs during the holiday season. You can find out more at www.togetherwerise.org. Thank you and happy holidays.